Welcome back to Mornings. Julian De Stoop with you. We're building up to Ash Barty versus Jessica Pakula tonight. And in the SEN commentary box, we're going to be very lucky to be joined by one of the great tennis commentators of the world, Robbie Koenig, who's been good enough to join us this morning. Thanks for your time, Robbie.
No, anytime. And I love being part of your show. Can't wait to be on the call this evening as Ash tries to add a silver lining to what's been a tough time for the Aussies.
It has been. Before we get onto the tennis, more importantly, I see you've been trying to search Melbourne for our best coffee. And have you found it yet? Have you found a favourite place?
Well, I tell you what, so far, out of the 12 venue tournament that I have, it is a Market Lane at the top of Collins that's come out the top seat. They're going to be tough to beat. I tried one of the local regulars, Jukes, but I think Jukes might be losing in the second round. Market Lane's going to take it out in straight sets, as far as I'm concerned. So far, Market Lane, top seat.
There you go. Nice little plug for Market Lane. Ash tonight, I guess all Australians are expecting Ash to win. How tough is this match going to be for her against Jessica Pakula, who was a quarterfinalist here last year and is playing some good tennis yet again?
I think there's always that additional pressure when you've got the target on your back. I mean, I think Jess is playing some of the best tennis of her career. She's got the added advantage now of, you know, being here at this stage in a major, you know, the types of wins she's had in the last 12 months. You know, she came off Australia last year. Many of us were questioning, oh, you know, was that just a flash in the pan? She goes to Doha, Dubai. She cleans up on the hard courts there, plays well in the American summer. I think she's in about as good a space as possible. The only caveat would be if the Bills had won yesterday.
Yes.
That would have been the icing on the cake. So, of course, your listeners who don't know, her father owns the Buffalo Bills, who lost an absolute nail-biter in the semifinals of the Super Bowl. So that's about the only thing that could have made her mood better after yesterday's performance. But she is hitting the ball so well off both sides. It's imperative she gets off to a good start. I think if she can keep Ash close, which a lot of players haven't been able to do, I think that's the key, just to, you know, to create that scoreboard pressure. And that's when I want to see Ash perform. Let me tell you an unbelievable stat about Ash. In fact, I'm going to ask you the question. How many top teners, just thinking about how good she's been, how many top teners, and I know Pagula's not a top 10, but how many top 10ers do you think Ash has beaten at the majors in her whole career?
One.
Give me a number. You're right.
There you go. Don't ask me to name who it was, though. That would stump.
Petra Kvitova, I think it was 2016. Yeah, but that's it. So it's amazing that she's been able to win majors. And, you know, the competition that she has faced relatively has been quite generous to her. But I think Pagula's playing top 10 tennis at the moment. It's going to be a fascinating matchup tonight.
If she gets through tonight, and obviously she'll play the winner of Krejcikova and Keys today, do you think her biggest challenge is on her side of the draw, or is there someone on the other side of the draw that you think poses as a massive threat to Ash winning this tournament?
I think Keys could be the real unknown factor. Hey? You know, she's played Krejcikova and beaten her, so she knows what she's up for against that. But Madison Keys, you've got somebody that has got firepower like no one else. Listen, you've got the Zabalenkas of the world. That Zabalenkas match last night, it hits the ball hard. Key has got loose, elastic power. And I think she's playing with house money. I mean, commentator's curse. I was doing predictions actually just before Adelaide started. And they said to me, oh, you always throw Madison Keys in there. No mention of her this time around. I said, you know what? I love her to death. But she just has never performed at the majors properly since she made the finals of the US Open. And I'm benching her. She's not one of my outliers this year. And, of course, what did she do? She goes and wins Adelaide, playing like a rock star here. And if there is a player that I couldn't wish more good fortune on, it would be Maddie, because she is the most beautiful human being. And, you know, it all develop at different rates. Perhaps she's just playing a little bit more looser now because she's not one of the high-ranked players, and that is always dangerous. Mm. Deep in a draw when you're playing, if you're Ash, the top seed, playing against somebody like that who's been to a Grand Slam final, right?
Yeah, she's, as you say, she's playing with freedom, and that is always dangerous. But speaking to world-leading tennis commentator Robbie Koenig, he's going to be part of the SEN call team tonight for Ash Barty versus Jessica Pakula. The men's side is just fascinating at the moment with the eight players that are remaining. The match that's on this afternoon, Denis Shapovalov, who I guess surprisingly to a lot of people just thrashed Alexander Zverev the other day, speaking about players that have struggled against good players at majors, up against Rafa Nadal this afternoon. Two left-handers. You got a rising star of the sport against one of the veterans. How do you see this match going?
Sure. Listen, Nadal's got the experience at this level, but coming off a win like Dennis has had, I mean, that's got to infuse you with confidence. There's obviously a lovely backstory. The first time Dennis broke through in Canada, I think 2017, he beat Rafa, right? I think it was around a 16 match, an absolute epic match, 7-6 in the third. In the third set, he had to save 6 break points alone against Nadal. He was 4-1 down in the third set tiebreaker, comes back to win that 7-4. It was a fairy tale start to his career. On a hard court, I think he's going to back himself. The shot that has to fire tonight, this afternoon, for Chapo's the forehand down the line. It's the shot that caused all the damage when he's beaten him on a hard court historically. Obviously, when they've played on clay, it has favored Nadal. But when they played in Rome, I think it was last year, Chapo did have 2 match points. So the fact that he can even go close with him on a clay court, you know, he's going to feel even more confident taking him on off the back of beating Zverev on a hard court. So that one's going to be minimum 4 sets. Minimum is my call. Personally, I would love Chapo to go deep and get the W, but I think Nadal is playing awesome tennis. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's no question he's requesting afternoon matches because he's playing in the afternoon again. Berrettini, Monfils got the later match. And that's because Nadal, his ball, when it's hot and lively like this, comes off the court so heavy. That spin is accentuated on a hot day. It's quicker through the air, and it bounces much higher off the court. So, you know, that's one of the luxuries when you're one of the legends of the sport. You can request certain times to play. And I'm pretty sure Rafa and his team have done that.
Yeah, Alex Diminor did the same. It just didn't quite work out for Alex yesterday because the two women's matches went from so long. A lot of Australians wouldn't have seen a lot of Jannik Sinner play, but he couldn't have been any more impressive yesterday. I'm not sure how you saw it. It didn't seem like Alex Diminor played that poorly, but Sinner was just unbelievable.
Sinner's a rock star, guys. He's a proper rock star. He's got everything. You know, the power. I think he's got the mental side of the game. The way he carries himself, his emotional control on the court is right up there. But most importantly, from a young age, he's had a good team around him. You know, Riccardo Piatti is his main coach. He's been around for decades. You know, he's helped the likes of Ivan Ljubicic for many years. He's traveled with Novak, and he was based in Monte Carlo. He's got his academy near there. Djokovic, Sharapova for a couple of months. And the beauty for somebody like Sinner is being able to surround himself with these kind of players. Ricardo will invite him when he was a youngster to come have dinner with Novak and dinner with Maria. And, you know, they're giving him invaluable info about the tour and how to behave and how to play under pressure. So when you've got that from a young age, it puts you in such a good position mentally. Then you throw in that on a regular basis, you know, in Monte Carlo, you're practicing with the likes of David Goffin and Marin Cilic and Daniil Medvedev and all these guys that live there. It's like the perfect scenario. It's the absolutely perfect scenario. And he's got a great work ethic too. So I think he's the complete package. I think he's going to be a multiple major winner. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing here on Sunday. I wouldn't.
Yeah, tennis is certainly in good hands with some of these young players coming through. Robbie, before I let you go, we threw this question out yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're over a week into the Australian Open. Has the tournament lost anything by the fact that Novak Djokovic isn't playing? Is it noticeable, or do you think once the tournament started, good stories emerged, there's still plenty of great players, that really the tournament hasn't lost anything by Novak not playing?
Listen, I'll answer that by saying you always want the best tennis players in the world playing the majors. So there's never going to be an asterisk alongside the tournament. Of course not. But all I'm saying is you want the best player. So I feel like, yes, he should be here. I just think it's better all around for everyone. But on the flip side of that, this is a major. Majors were here long before Novak was born, and they will be here long after Novak retires. No player is bigger than a major. Of course, he's been a major contributor to the history of the sport. And yeah, I think there's been so many great storylines. I mean, just think about Jessica Pegula. I mean, there's so many good stories when you look for them. And yeah, a weekend, probably most people, unless you're a hardcore Djokovic fan, have moved on. And such is life, you know. There's a famous saying in England that today's newspaper is tomorrow's fish and chips.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? And that's how it is, you know. People move on pretty quickly. The next storyline, you've got Marin Cilic, who's one of the veterans of the tour as well. You know, he was a great story, playing so well this week. Five setters, Americans coming through. Yeah, this, you know, 128 draw, you're going to have so many great storylines. But I do wish, maybe selfishly from my point of view, to see Novak try and go ahead of Rafa and Roger for the first time. You know, I wanted to see him win the Grand Slam at the end of last year, but that's selfish. I wanted to be part of that history. I wasn't around when Laver won in 69, the last person to win the Grand Slam in the true sense of the word. In the true sense of the word, all four majors in the same year. But hey, let's see what happens going forward. I hope things change because, you know, I want to see him playing at the French Wimbledon and the US Open.
Yeah, it might be tough the way the rules are at the moment. It's going to be fascinating to see. Hey, Robbie, thanks so much for your time. It's going to be great to have you part of the SEN team tonight. Just make sure you get Ash over the line, will you? If you don't, we might not invite you back if you curse our Ash. So enjoy it tonight. Enjoy the good coffee. And thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, you guys are legends. Thanks for having me.